Hello, my name is Rick Pearson, and this is Prophecy USA, a program specifically designed to unveil the hidden mystery of America's role in Bible prophecy. Recently, I was interviewed by our dear friend Terry Squires on her program Today's Nashville. We hope you enjoy this interview, and you are there.
Rick, what an honor to sit down with you and talk to you today. Welcome to Today's Nashville.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
The tables have turned. You're in the hot seat today.
Yes, I'm in the hot seat.
Author, and God has really given you a passion and a ministry and prophecy. But before we start talking about that, I want to go back to and share your life, because you have your own television show, Prophecy USA, but I want my friends to know who you are and what God has done in your life. So let's go back a little bit.
Okay, well, I was raised in a Baptist theology, cessation theology. When I was 7 years old, I walked down the aisle of a Baptist church, give my heart to Jesus, and the pastor said, "Why did you come forward?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Braxton, I don't want to go to hell." And he said, "Well, that's a good reason." And I asked Jesus, 7 years old, and I was baptized in water.
Where were you living?
I was living in Tilbury, Ontario, Canada,
so
a little town of 3,000 people. And I got baptized, and I loved Sunday school, and I loved all the stories in the Bible, and I really did get saved when I was seven, which I think kept me from a lot of problems growing up.
Did your family, were they very devout Christians?
Yes. And I was raised under the Baptist golden rule: you don't drink, don't smoke, don't swear, don't chew, and don't you date a girl that do. Now, a lot of that was religious, but it kept me out of a lot of problems growing up. So I lived a very good life, almost like a Nazarene vow as I was growing up. Now, I wasn't perfect, but I loved church, and I loved the stories in the Bible, and I specifically loved all the miracles. And I thought, what a shame, you know, we got ripped off. We don't get to see all this stuff because those things are all in the past. So I grew up kind of questioning the Bible. I believed in it, but I wondered, why doesn't God do miracles today? Mm-hmm. And so by the time I was 18, I was looking for a university to go to, and I saw this guy on television called Oral Roberts praying for the sick, and he built a university. And I thought, well, I'm going to go down there and check that out. So I went down there, and I saw Expect a Miracle, and lo and behold, this man is preaching that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he still heals. And myself and a friend, my cousin, we were looking for direction in our life. And we left that school and we went to a condo in Florida. And I said to my cousin, Billy, I said, "Billy, I want to pray because I'm looking for direction for my life. And I want my life to mean something." And so we prayed, and I made a vow to God. And I said, "Jesus, if you're real and this man in Tulsa is telling the truth, that God does miracles, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if you give me a lifestyle like you gave the apostles, I'll totally give you my life to do whatever you want." Now, when I made that vow, I did not know that the Bible says don't make vows to God, because if you don't keep your vow, you're in big trouble.
And you're 18.
I'm 18. I released that vow, and the door of our apartment blew open. And a wind came in, and I mean, it was like a whirlwind in the room. And I looked at my cousin, and he looked at me, and I thought in my heart, what have I conjured up? I mean, this was a violent rushing wind. And so I put my face in the carpet, and I said the name Jesus over and over again, because I thought maybe I've conjured something up evil. Well, all of a sudden I started speaking in another language. This goes on for about 10 minutes, and I thought, I don't know what's going on, but I just felt the presence of God so close I could hardly stand anymore. And I put my hand up and I said, "Lord, I know you're real. I know you've answered my prayer. I don't know what's going on, but please stop the wind. I can't take it anymore." And the wind went out the door slammed shut behind it. And then the next year I went to ORU and I learned the charismatic theology.
What did your cousin think at this time?
My cousin was raised Pentecostal. So when I started speaking in another language, he knew that I was receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know. So, but he was just as amazed as I was when that door blew open. And that changed my life.
So what happened after that?
Well, I went to ORU for 4 years, studied, learned how to fly, wanted to become a missionary pilot or a pilot for an evangelist and fly evangelists around. And I graduated in 1977.
What did you graduate in?
Graduated with an undergraduate in business administration, marketing, and I took theology as well.
Did you know where God was leading you at that time? Or
career-wise? Yeah, I was taking flying lessons, and I got all my pilot's ratings, and I'd been flying Oral Roberts Associate Evangelist around to all the different meetings. And it's funny because it was at ORU, the first time I flew the airplane, the instructor looked at me and he said, "You're a natural." He said, "I think you can land this plane." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "I'll talk you through it." And the first time I flew an airplane, I landed it. And he said, "You're a natural." And I found something in life that I was good at, and I loved it. And that's what I wanted to do when I graduated, is to fly an evangelist or fly in ministry somewhere.
But you didn't end up in that career. Didn't you go back home?
No, I ended up, I couldn't stay in the States because the government said there were too many unemployed pilots. So I went back to my little home in 3,000 people, Tilbury, Ontario, and I got into business with my father and my brother of selling Bluebird buses. We operated buses and sold buses through the Bluebird distributorship. And so the last place I wanted to live, the last person I wanted to work for, and the last job I wanted to do was sell buses with my brother and my dad, and that's exactly where God put me.
What was going through your mind at that time?
I felt like John from the Isle of Patmos. You know, I've been thrown onto this island, and it was a time of testing, because the first thing I had to do is sweep out 150 buses for our customers. And the verse came to me that if you serve God, you have to serve others. You serve your master and you serve other people. And God put a broomstick in my hand and I started sweeping out the buses. And I thought, well, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And I had read Oral Roberts' famous sermon, The Fourth Man. And he talked about points of contact in it. How Abraham had a ram, Isaac had a well, Jacob had a scepter, Moses had a rod, Gideon had a fleece, Samuel had a horn of oil, David had a slingshot. They all had points of contact. And I thought, well, God put a broomstick in my hand and I'll just serve him by sweeping out buses.
And he gave you a bus, but then he's taking you to a whole new level.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about it when we come back.
Donald Trump miraculously dodged a bullet and soon thereafter became the 47th president of the United States of America. King Josiah of ancient Israel miraculously staved off divine judgment and received over 30 years of God's blessing to the nation. But what does President Donald Trump in the here and now have in common with King Josiah of the then and there? Prophecy USA is proud to present their latest book, America's Josiah Moment, an end-time reprieve of things to come. Let us unveil to you what millions are discovering. The United States of America is more than an experiment in democracy. She is a fulfillment of divine proclamation. Go to prophecyusa.org or call the number on your screen now. And for just $25, receive your copy of this powerful book and help us spread the word. We are waiting to hear from you.
Rick, we've went from sweeping buses to a ministry and prophecy. What happened after the buses got cleaned?
You know, I was raised at ORU, and Oral Roberts was the apostle of the prosperity message. Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running together shall men give under your bosom. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. As I was sweeping out those buses, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to sweep these out for you, and I know that someday you're going to put me in an airplane flying in ministry, and this is just a test. So I was sweeping out those buses, and I thought, anytime.
I'm ready, Lord.
Anytime. 9 years later, the phone rings, and it's Oral Roberts University wanting to know if I would become a regent of the school and help them in the ministry. And I thought, wow, finally, I'm going to do something in ministry in a bigger way.
But God had blessed you through this business, right?
Yes. As I served the customers, we sold buses. We were the number one distributor in Ontario for school buses. People would call me up. I had one fellow call me up from about 150 miles away, and he said, I need a 72-passenger bus. And I said, okay, and I gave him a quote, and I said, now, would you like to come and see the bus? Would you like to come and see the factory? He says, no, I'll take it. I said, well, I've never met you. And he said, Rick, I've called all the bus operators in my area, and everybody told me, you're the guy to buy the bus from. You're the most honest guy in the business, and your buses are good. He said, I'll just take it. So that was the reputation that we had in the bus business. But when I received the phone call from Oral Roberts, I thought, this is fantastic. I went down to the school, and they were doing a major outreach with medical missions at that time. And they were raising money, and I realized I had not really been tithing. And I thought, you know, here I am. I'm working. Prosperity, give it shall be given unto you. But Lord, I haven't been really sowing heavy into the kingdom. And I felt guilty because I made a vow, and here I wasn't even tithing. So I took 10% of my net worth, and I gave it to medical missions. And when I released that money, something happened to me exactly like Cornelius in the Bible. It's an angel came to him and he said, Cornelius, your prayers and alms have come up for a memorial towards me. And I had a 7-week period where I went into what you would call revelation knowledge, where the Lord was speaking to me about the United States of America. I was having dreams. I was having inner knowledge of things that were happening in the spirit realm about demons and entering America and darkness. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And on the seventh night of the seventh day, an audible voice woke me up and spoke to me and gave me clarity. And I had an experience exactly like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel in the Bible. The same experience that they had, where they were petrified and they were scared and the voice spoke to them. And Isaiah said, don't call me, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. And Jeremiah said, I'm too young. And the Lord came and an angel touched them. I had that experience, and I learned about America's role in Bible prophecy by reading those same men's testimonies of what they prophesied was coming in the latter days in a latter-day nation called Babylon the Great.
You know what, and the thing is that, you know, we go back to the Old Testament, and I've said that we've had this conversation that you have to know the Old Testament to know who Jesus was.
Yes.
And were you at that point into the Bible, studying God's word? And when was it in your life that you just really started digging in and studying?
That was the focal point. After I had that experience, I flew down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had Oral Roberts lay his hands on me because I thought maybe I was possibly having a nervous breakdown. It shook me to the core, this experience. I didn't know.
Now, how old were you?
I was 32. But I had studied all the prosperity messages in the New Testament, but I'd not studied the Old Testament and how God had worked in the Old Testament. And 27% of the Bible's prophecy, and it comes from the four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. All the things that are happening now, they prophesied. And I took years studying, trying to figure out what was told to me. And some of the things that were said to me are right out of Scripture. So it was mind-boggling. But when I went to Oral, yeah, he laid hands on me, and I said, Brother Roberts, I want you to discern if something's wrong with me. And he started laughing. He put his hand, and I started shaking like a leaf, just like I did in the apartment, and just like I did at 32 when I had that visitation. And he started laughing. He said, son, this is the Holy Ghost. He said, God is speaking to you. Don't be afraid. This is how he works. And I said, Brother Roberts, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my mind. And he said, you're not going to lose your mind. You stick with us and we'll be your covering. And he put me on the board and on the executive board. And for the next 21 years, I was on the executive board of ORU and traveled to 25 different nations on medical missions and supported that. And they were my covering. And while that was going on, I was studying all the time.
Tell me about the medical missions. What were they? I mean, would you go into different countries or?
We would go into different countries and they would bring doctors and nurses and they would bring dentists and they would have a healing crusade with either Oral or Richard Roberts. And then they also provided doctors, nurses, and medical. So Brother Roberts' mandate was to bring all healing streams together, because God wishes above all else that we prosper and be in health. But he heals through word of knowledge. He heals through the spoken word. But Jesus also said the sick need a physician. So all of those healing streams, we're supposed to not just stick with one. I mean, God can heal instantly, but many times he takes time to heal through a doctor or medicine. So we apply all those, and that's what we did on the medical missions. And I mean, I saw things in Africa, demon possession, deliverance, the doctors, the nurses. It was a lot of fun to go and travel and minister to people.
He is a healer. Sometimes he doesn't heal the way that we expect.
Exactly.
And sometimes the healing takes place in heaven with him.
Exactly. And his timing is different than our time.
His timing and his ways are different than our ways.
Yes.
You have a ministry, Prophecy USA. You've written many books. You've gotten a lot of,
resistance?
Resistance. A lot of resistance. And we're going to talk about it when we come back.
In 2021, our book, The Hour That Changes Everything, boldly proclaimed America's role in Bible prophecy. In 2022, our book, The Coming Exodus, discreetly unveiled God's supernatural exit strategy, soon to take place in America and around the world. In 2023, our book, 53 Descriptions of America's Role in Bible Prophecy, simultaneously showcased hundreds of verses that America has fulfilled. But now, our book, America's Josiah Moment, will pinpoint the exact time sequence of where we sit on God's prophetic time clock. Traditions of men tell us America is not inside the Bible, but you will never discover the truth until the Bible gets inside of you. America's Josiah Moment will do just that. To receive your copy of America's Josiah Moment for just $25, call the number on your screen now or visit prophecyusa.org. Call today.
Rick, the Lord has given you Prophecy USA. You have a ministry in prophecy. Tell me about it.
Well, the experience I had when I was 32 talked about America. God showed me America. And there's a nation in the Bible called Babylon the Great. There's eight providential nations in Scripture. The last nation to rule is the beast Antichrist system. But there's another nation that precedes it called Mystery Babylon the Great. And Mystery Babylon the Great has 53 biblical descriptions, and the United States of America meets every description. But for the last 2,000 years, people have speculated who would Mystery Babylon be. Many think it was the Catholic Church, or Babylon would be rebuilt in Iraq. But the fact of the matter is, all of the prophecies about Babylon the Great have been fulfilled. America has met every description, including the time sequence of appearing before the New World Order comes. So my interpretation of Scripture And I use a protocol on.
And this is where you get a lot of resistance from a lot of people.
Yes. And this is why my protocol is this. If the Bible does not say it, neither will I. But what I was told was coming is here right now, and everything is documented in Scripture. So traditional theology, who says that America is not in the Bible, I totally disagree with. So when Jesus appeared, it was the Bible people who gave him the most flack. And he said, your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. You're talking about the Bible and the Old Testament prophets. He says, your fathers killed them. And he said, the author of the Bible was standing before them, but because of their traditions, they didn't have the dots connected. And they couldn't see that he was going to come as a suffering servant. They were waiting for the King of Kings to come. Well, he's coming back as King of Kings, but he first appeared as a suffering servant. So a lot of people, you know, the devil is smart. He can twist Scripture and hide things from us. But Babylon is a mystery. Mystery Babylon the Great. And mysterion means a secret that's revealed to a select group of people. Deuteronomy says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things he reveals to us belong to us and to our children. I believe I was given revelation on the United States of America and Mystery Babylon the Great, and it's no longer a mystery. The United States of America is not an experiment in democracy. It's a fulfillment of divine proclamation. And that's what we're doing on Prophecy USA. We are proclaiming, folks, get ready, because the second coming is getting very close, and America plays a pivotal role
in that second coming. It is important, because I've studied Revelation, and I always tell everybody, be ready. This is the time. Rick, you've written America's Josiah's Moment. Tell me about it.
America's Josiah Moment is a replication of what Donald Trump has had in the last 6 months. What Donald Trump has established in America is exactly what happened in the Old Testament with Judah and Israel when Josiah found out that they were doing bad things that would pull curses on them. They were sacrificing their children. They had Molech that they were sacrificing their children to. They were full of Baal worship. And just they brought the Torah to Josiah, and he said, we can't do this. And he started, he made Baal worship illegal. And because of Josiah's heart, God looked down and said, because of your heart, Josiah, you will not see the judgment come. And he staved off judgment of Jerusalem and Judah for 23 years before judgment finally came. Because one of the things that you have to realize is the shedding of innocent blood is a form of Baal worship, and it says, he who sheds the innocent blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. It automatically pulls down divine judgment on a nation, especially if you're a covenant nation. So here we are now. We see a polarization of culture within America. We see the Antichrist system. We see the anti-Semiticism. We see the LGBT movement. We see the rainbow flag, which defies what God gave Noah, defiles marriage, and there's a separation taking place. We're in a Josiah moment now where God is giving us a reprieve to come back to me, because ready or not, I'm coming back for you. And so I'm praying for God to move in America and around the world, and I think we see that happening now.
Well, how is that message for us today here in America?
I think because Revelation 17 and 18 talks about Babylon the Great, and it says, come out of her, my people, be not partaker of her sins, nor in her plagues that shall come upon her. So as we get closer to God, we're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is in Revelation 19:7, and it says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride hath made herself ready. The reward of being invited to the marriage is dependent on you and your works. Are you doing what God has called you to do? And so you're making yourself ready and preparing for that day when he calls us up in the rapture. So there's a separation happening now between darkness and light, and you can see it globally. You can see it around the world. And I find it interesting that in the last several weeks, Donald Trump with the Abraham Accord to bring peace in Israel says Babylon's a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. God is really using America now to try and bring peace. But the Abrahamic Accord is basically a peace, or trying to bring a peace agreement between Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And this is a 4,000-year war, and it says Isaac would be the father of the Jewish nation and bring forth the Messiah, but Ishmael would be a wild man, and no man shall tame him, and he will dwell among his brethren. So here we are. America is speaking with Russia, which is Gog and Magog. America is speaking to Iran, which is Persia. America is dealing with Israel, covenant nation. And Sheba and Dedan, Saudi Arabia, is saying that President Trump is the president of the world. Well, if we're in the end times, good night, nurse. America's smack dab in the middle of Bible prophecy. We're fulfilling our destiny.
We are.
This is exciting.
We are in the end times.
Yes.
And a lot of people are scared about it. But you know what? God has placed us here. We should be. It's exciting to see this all unfold in our front of our eyes.
Well, it's not a good time to backslide.
No.
Now's the time to get on your knees, say, Lord, what would you have me do? What has God placed in your hand? Did he place your children? Did he place a textbook that you're, be the best teacher you can be, the best husband, the best wife, the best son, the best daughter, the best Sunday school teacher? Just do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and you have fulfilled all the law. This is part of come out of her, my people, be not partaker of her sins, nor in her plagues. So that's the separation, and that's the awakening that I believe is coming to America. We play a pivotal role in Bible prophecy.
And we need to be ready. Rick, thank you so much. Honored to sit down with you today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
My friend, are you seeking the Lord? Like Rick said, this is the time. Get into the Word of God. He's waiting for you. This is today's Nashville. This is faith.
Folks, we trust you enjoyed our interview with Terry Squires on today's Nashville. This is Prophecy USA. My name's Rick Pearson, reminding you God's in total control. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's coming back much sooner than many people think. Shalom. Hey folks, Karen and I would like to invite you to our Prophecy USA 24-hour prayer ministry outreach.
If you need prayer for your family, your loved ones, or for any need whatsoever, please know that we are here to pray for you.
Yes, anytime, day or night, whatever the situation, please feel free to phone this number. Our intercessors are standing by to faithfully call out to God on your behalf. Shalom.